Blog Talk Radio.
Embrace Today is brought to you by Whole House Ministries. Host Apri Curry will inspire listeners to embrace their today with hope and expectation, with a focus of bringing about freedom, healing, and restoration through the Word of God. John 16:33 says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world."
Good morning and welcome to Embrace Today. I am your host, Apri Curry, and this morning we are going to be talking from Luke chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. That's Luke chapter 6, verses 1 through 10, and we're going to be talking on the topic of accused, being accused of something. If we can think about what it means to be accused of something, it means that someone is bringing an accusation or a charge that someone has done something wrong or illegal. If we can think about our actions when we have been accused of something, or if we can think of a time that we have been accused of something, even today, if we could just think about if someone was to accuse us of something today, what our response would be. Oftentimes when people are accusing us of something, and especially if it's something that's not true or something that's way out of the ordinary, our response is not always right. It's not always positive, shall I say. And so this morning we are going to talk about our response to accusations and what it may do for some people as they are looking to accuse us. So although some people may be looking to accuse you of doing something wrong, or you may even be one that's accusing someone of doing something wrong, today we're going to talk about some things and some ways that would be able to help us to better understand an accusation and to better understand our response when people are looking to accuse us. It's not always easy to deal with people that have been accusing us of some things. It's not always easy to be around people that we know have wrong motives. And so today we're going to talk from Luke chapter 6, verses 1 through 10, and we're just going to get some biblical insights on some things that we can do to help us better get through the process of being accused of something. We may not be accused of something today, but I'm sure in our future there will possibly be something that people will try to accuse us of. A lot of people look at things on the surface, and so by looking at things on the surface, they come to a determination of some things that may not always be true. And rather than getting clarification on the truth, they go to making accusations. We also come in contact with people that you would call fault finders. These people are always looking to find fault in someone, regardless of who it is, how it is. These people are always looking to find fault. And the reason why they do that is because they are looking to bring out of someone else what's really in them. Instead of focusing on them and what they have and addressing the issues that they have, they're looking to point blame at other people and what they have going on that's wrong. They're also in the business of bringing things out or bringing things up that's not necessarily true about a particular person, but they are using these as excuses. So they fault finding is something that they do, that's their agenda, because they don't want to focus on themselves. But how do we deal with those types of people? How are we still able to show those types of people the love of Christ? How are we still able to go out into the world and to love them and to witness to them and to minister when we have these people that are constantly looking at us, looking to find fault in anything that we say, anything that we do? And so let's look at Luke chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. And then you have people that will try to accuse you for many different things. So let's look at Luke 6, 1 through 10. 1 and 2 reads, "One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and his disciples began to pick some heads of grain, rub them in their hands, and eat the kernels. some of the Pharisees asked, why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath? So when we are being accused of something, we have to know that some may question our timing of things. They were going through the grain fields, and because it was a Sabbath, a day of rest, and they began to pick some heads of grain for them to eat, the Pharisees, they began to question their timing. Tradition about the Sabbath in Judaism is they were prohibited to work on Saturday. So rather than seeing this as them just feeding themselves or them just trying to get energy or them just trying to fulfill a need that they have, they're looking at this as work. They're looking at this as they're not allowed to do this because, again, Jesus has began his ministry. They have been watching him very closely, and they're not really feeling Jesus in that point in time. So they're coming up with the law. They're coming up with the law and its strictness. They're trying to use the law as a belt, per se. The law was built to help the people. It was for us to be able to live in the right way, and it was for us to be able to commune with each other in the right way. But some people were using the law as a sword, per se. They were trying to use it as punishment for other people. And so this is what they were doing. Instead of them looking at it as them just going through and feeding themselves for the day, they wanted to question why they were doing work on the Sabbath. And so what that meant was they should not have been, there was punishment for working on the Sabbath. They should not have been doing anything when we look at the strictness of the law in Judaism. But they were with Jesus, and Jesus was there. And as I talked about last week with this new thing, the new wineskin and the new material, they had turned a corner with Jesus being with them. This was something that they were building upon. So it wasn't just the old. They were walking into a new season, a new era in their lives. And so some things were changing. And so some may question our timing as we begin to follow Christ and do the work that he has called for us to do. There will be some people that will try to hold us down to some strictness of tradition and some strictness of how things were and some strictness to how they want things to go. But we have to make sure that regardless of what we are doing, that we are following the Lord and doing what he has called for us to do in every aspect of our lives. So whether it be at work, at home, in the church, in your community, wherever you are doing the work of Christ, when you are being accused of something, know that some may question your timing, the time that you are doing it. It wasn't necessarily, they didn't say anything, they didn't say more about what they were eating. It was more so about why they were doing it on a day that was not supposed to be done. And so some people are looking at what you are doing and saying that it's not supposed to be done at this time, or you can't go outside of what we originally set. And so we have to get to the place to where we are able to step outside of the tradition and stand firm on doing what God has called for us to do, regardless of what questions may come up. And then we also have to get to the place to where we are not allowing people's questions, regardless of if they are questioning our timing because we are going outside of what was traditionally set, regardless of what they are doing, we have to get to a place to where we are not getting out of character when people begin to ask us questions. Sometimes people take question asking, even though they were asking questions for the wrong motives, they were trying to catch them up. Sometimes when people are asking us questions, we get all bent out of shape. It goes automatically to a negative situation. Our minds begin to race, and if we have someone that's close to us, that's with us at that particular time, we'll continue to talk about it with them even when we walk away, or we'll contact them and we'll continue to talk about it. We always go to the negative. Just because someone is showing some type of resistance to something that we're doing or something that we're saying, and we have to get to the point to, regardless of what's going on, regardless of what people are saying, we have to stop jumping into those negative mindsets and those negative responses and working ourselves up and building all that tension up in our head because somebody is resisting what we're saying or what we're doing. And so when you are being accused of something, when someone is bringing accusations against you, know, number one, that they will question your timing. Questions will come because they question Jesus. But how we respond and what we, how we respond and what we respond to is the key. And so we want to make sure that just because we are not being, just because we are being accused of something, that we are not being quick to get anger. We have to be slow to anger. And so we have to get to the place to where we are not allowing accusations to take us outside of the character of Christ. Because we have to know that the law of love was never meant to restrict one's ability to love or to meet one's needs. And so the law of love was for us to go out into the world and to show that and to be that love. And so it was never meant to restrict anyone. And so when we know that we are truly following Jesus and we are doing what he's supposed to do, regardless of who's questioning our timing, regardless of who's questioning anything else that we have going on, knowing that you are following him is more than enough. And so there would be no need for us to become angry or frustrated or to become bent out of shape because people are asking us questions. Sometimes we'll answer the questions, sometimes we may not. But the whole point is stay in character because you're following Christ, and the pursuit of righteousness should never cause us to resort to tactics that reflect unrighteousness. And so when we are responding to the things that we are doing, and if we respond, but when we do respond, make sure that we are not allowing anger to fester, that we are not coming out of pocket with people, that we are doing, continuing to follow Christ and doing what he has called us to do, regardless of what type of questions come up. And to take it a step further with the questions that come up from other people and when we feel some type of resistance, I believe some of that comes from a lack of confidence that we have within ourselves. Some of us are not as confident in who God has called us to be. Some of us, we say that we are, and we put on a facade like we are, but some of us are really insecure. And so when people begin to ask us questions, we buck up against that because sometimes I feel like we're leaning more towards the insecure part when people ask us questions or question what we're doing. However, when you know who you are in Christ and you know that you are following him, then it won't cause us to buck up against that. It won't cause us to get angry. It won't cause us to want to fight people and talk about them because they're questioning us. Let the questions come, because as you continue to get out of pocket, as you continue to go left center field with people, the test will continue to come until you pass it. And so we don't always have to have a negative response when people are asking us questions. Sometimes we answer the questions, sometimes we don't. But regardless of what action we take, as long as we are doing it in love, and love does not mean you call your friend and tell your friend all the stuff about the person, and love does not mean that you continue to think about what this person said, and love does not mean that you start doubting yourself. But in love means we respond to the question, and sometimes you don't know. People really are asking questions because they really don't understand something. And so you never know when a moment is a teaching moment for yourself and for other people. So know that when you are being accused, know that sometimes people may question your timing. And when someone is stuck in tradition or stuck in doing things a particular way, and it may not even be that they're stuck, that may be the only way that they have been taught. That may be the only way that they know. And so you never know when you're teaching someone something. And so instead of us becoming angry when someone asks us something, sometimes that will be a teaching moment for others, and it can be a teaching moment for yourself. So let's look at verses 3-5. It says, Jesus answered them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and taking the consecrated bread, he ate what is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Then Jesus said to them, 'The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath.'" And so when we are being accused, we have to know that some may question our timing, and then we have to know that some may need a reminder. Jesus, in his answer to them, he gave them a reminder of what David did when he entered the house of God, and he took the consecrated bread that was only lawful for the priest. So by law, it was only for the priest to eat. But then he gave some to his companions, and they ate it together. And so he gave the people a reminder of what happened in previous days. He gave them a reminder of that to let them know that the law was not so restricted that we couldn't go outside of it to fulfill a particular duty. And then he proceeds to say he's the Lord of the Sabbath. He said the Son of Man is Lord of Sabbath, meaning he has the authority to do and allow what he allowed them to do. And so sometimes we may have to remind people of some history and some previous things that has happened before, and then sometimes we have to remind people of whose authority we are walking in, whose authority that has been given to us, because we do have the authority. And when we are going through these different things, sometimes I believe that we forget the authority that we have in us. He has given us the authority. And so sometimes people say, well, God has to do it, and God this and God that. Well, God is in you. And the text says, I can do all things through Christ who give me strength. So it doesn't say God can do all things through Christ or Christ can do all things through Christ. I can do all things through Christ. So we have the power and the authority within us. And so when we are answering those questions, we have to sometimes allow people to know about the authority we have in us, and then sometimes remind them of the authority that they have within them, because the authority that has been given to us is from God. And so when we are going out into the world and doing the work, everybody is not going to understand. Everybody is not going to believe it. But when we sometimes take the time to remind people and give them answers to some of the questions that they have, when we take that time out, we are actually helping them as well as ourselves. And so, again, accusations, although they may be meant for bad, it can be changed around to something good. It can be a teaching moment for yourself and for the people in question. And so we have to make sure that when we are being accused of something, or when we have those fault finders that are coming up pointing things out, or when we have those people that are looking to just destroy us, those people that just, some people don't even like us, but when we have those people, we have to make sure that we are realizing that each moment can be a teaching moment, and everything that we do should be done for the glory of God. And so we don't want to become angry. And I keep stressing that, because a lot of times when people are trying to accuse us of something, or people buck up against what we're doing, we become frustrated internally, and our responses mentally and our vocal responses are not always what they should be. And so I just really want to make sure that we are responding to accusations in a way that's not going to cause us to have to repent later on. And so look at verses 6-7. It says, on another Sabbath, he went into the synagogue and was teaching, and a man was there whose right hands was shriveled. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. And so when we are being accused, we have to know that some may question our timing, some may need a reminder, and then some are looking to accuse you. Like I talked about, those fault finders, those people that are watching, it says that they watched him closely. And so if you can think about someone watching you closely and how that must make somebody feel to know that there is just someone always there watching them, trying to find something that they're doing wrong. And so if you can think about how that would feel to you, if I can think about how that would feel to me, that would be frustrating, irritating. It would just be all bad for me. And I'm not sure that I would just offer it, be able to control or not say anything to the other person. However, because I know that I am doing the work of God, I cannot just be all over the place. Because I am a follower of him and I am trying to become like Christ, I cannot flip and flop and flip out on everyone that I think is closely watching me. But if there was someone closely watching me, what would they see? It says they watched him closely. If there was someone closely watching me, what would they see? And so they were looking to accuse him. And even though what they were trying to accuse him of wasn't a real something that they can hold against him. But let's look at our lives today. When some people are looking to accuse us, what will they find? Will it be something as what Jesus was doing when he was doing what was right for the people? He was doing what he was preaching. He was doing what he was teaching. Will it be something like that, or will it really be something that they can accuse you of, that if they put on display for the world to see, how would that make you look? And so sometimes we have to, or not sometimes, all the time, we have to make sure that we are reflecting Christ's character, because some people are watching us closely. Some people are watching us closely because they want to see if we are who we say we are, if they want to see if we're living out who we say we are. And then there will be some people that are looking to closely, watching you closely to accuse you. They are looking for you to do something wrong so that they can call you out on it. And so we have to make sure that when those times do come, that we are truly handling ourselves the way that Christ handled himself, and that we are not getting all bent out of shape because people are out there. Look, they accuse Jesus, so we know that it's going to happen to us, because the word of God said a servant is not greater than his master. And because we are his servants, and because he is our master and he was accused, we know that we too will be accused. And so the best thing for us to do right here with the words from this text is for us to be prepared in case something comes up, because we never know what will happen. And I'm not saying that all accusations are going to be just simply a simple accusation for you to fly over. I'm not saying that, because sometimes people are very mean. They're very harsh. They're very destructive. They try to destroy you. And sometimes it's hard not to get angry, or it's hard not to show a different type of emotion. It's not always easy to just follow the characteristics of Christ. And so even in those moments when you feel angry or frustrated and you have to let out some tears, and you may even say or do something that you will later regret, in those moments is the moments that you release that to Christ, repent of whatever it is that you have said or done, and ask him to give you the strength. You know the power that is in you. You know it is, but you ask him to help you get through the situation. Ask him for the strategy, because listen to this. Whatever you have been through, whatever the devil tries to use for bad, God can turn it around and use it for good. Sometimes, or oftentimes, we cannot control what people do to us. We cannot control what people do to us, but we can control how we make it through the process of what someone has done to us. And so, even if someone does something to you, know that you can control your process of getting back to where you need to be so that you are whole. And so know that some people are looking to accuse you. That's their ultimate motive. That's what they have lined. That's what they're lined up to do. They can care less about making you happy. They can care less about your family. They can care less about your feelings. They are looking to accuse you, to destroy you. And so we have to make sure that we are truly, truly, truly staying prayed up, staying in the word of God, so that we won't go left center field automatically. I'm not saying that we will never go there, but we want to make sure that we're not always going there. Like, that's not our living place. That's not our dwelling place, to where as soon as we are being accused of something, we go straight there. And so we want to make sure that when people are questioning us, that we aren't just flipping out and just automatically thinking that it's something wrong. And then other times, our mind is so set that everybody is up against us, that the first question that comes to us, we're in that negative mindset of they don't believe me, or they don't think that I can do it, or they don't this and they don't that, and we become angry. But we have to get to the place to where we stop allowing other people's accusations and other things take us to a point of anger, to where we are outside of what God has called for us to do. We can't function in our role because we are more focused on being angry at the people that are accusing us of things. And so, again, Jesus was accused of things. So as his followers, we're going to be accused of things. But how we respond to the accusations is very important. And everything that the devil throws at us is to take us out of our, take us off of our path of following what God has called for us to do. So look at verse 8. It says, "But Jesus knew what they were thinking and said to the man with the shriveled hand," he said, "get up and stand in front of everyone." So he got up and stood there. And so when we are being accused, we have to know that some may question our timing, some may need a reminder, some may look to accuse us, but then we have to know that some people may need to see what's being taught. So Jesus was going around and he was talking about restoration, and he was talking about healing and wholeness. And so he told the man to get up, and he was going to give an example of what he was already proclaiming. He was giving an example of what he said that he can do. And so, like I said earlier, some people may need to see what you're talking about. Some people may need to see what you're doing as an example, because, again, Some people, although they were looking to accuse Jesus, they were watching him closely. Some people truly do not understand. Some people truly do not know. And so when we are able to give them that example, when we are able to explain to them and allow them to see what's being taught, sometimes that alone will remove the accusation from what people have. Sometimes that alone will remove the questioning that people have for us. And so if we're so angry that we can't even explain what we're doing, or if we are more quick to get angry than we are to explain or to teach someone about what we're doing and how we're doing it and why, when we are at that place, then sometimes we have to get to a place to where we are searching our own hearts. Because when they asked Jesus these questions, he responded, number one, with a history lesson. So he gave them a lesson on what previously happened. And then on the second one, he gave them an example of what he could do today. And so we have to get to a place to where we know that some people may need to see what's being taught. And so don't be so bent out of shape when people ask you questions about what you're doing and why you're doing it and how you're doing it, because you never know what you can teach them and what they can teach you. You can teach yourself a lesson out of teaching someone else a lesson. So remember, stay focused on the task at hand and move forward in what God has called for you to do, regardless of any accusations, because there will be a fault finder anywhere you go. There will be a person looking to find fault in you. And so regardless of what you are doing, stay focused on the task at hand and move forward so you can fulfill your purpose. And so verse 9 says, then Jesus said to them, I ask you, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save a life or to destroy it? And so we also have to know that some may need to understand their own motives. Sometimes the people that are accusing us, sometimes the people that are looking to find fault in us, they don't even recognize their own motives. Jesus was trying to do good, but they were trying to do evil. Jesus was trying to save a life, but they were trying to destroy it. And sometimes people that are looking to accuse you and are fault finding don't even realize what they are doing. They're not even recognizing the motive and the spirit behind what they are trying to do. And so sometimes we have to get them to a place to where we are helping them understand them. Although that may sound weird, we have to get to a place to where we can help them see who they are, because sometimes people have been molded like this from previous generations, and sometimes this is the only way that people know how to respond to something good is something bad. And so if you can think about being that person that is able to help someone be set free in their mind on the way that they think about particular things. And so we have to get to a place to where we know that some people may need to understand their own motives. And then finally, let's look at verse 10. It says, he looked around at them all and then said to the man, stretch out your hand. He did so, and his hand was completely restored. And so when we are being accused, we have to know that some may question our timing. Some may need a reminder. Some may look to accuse us. Some may need to see what's being taught. Some may need to understand their own motives. But then some may need to understand restoration. Everyone does not understand restoration. There's so much brokenness in the world and so much brokenness in our hearts that we really do not understand true restoration. We understand covering things up. We understand taking care of the wound at first and wiping the blood up. We understand that. But complete restoration, we don't understand that because we don't truly understand our brokenness. When we get to the place to where we understand our brokenness and when we understand others' brokenness, then we also know that some may need to understand that as well. And when we get to the place of understanding complete restoration, then we'll get to the place of where we are being accused by others. We'll know that we can assist them as well as ourselves. Sometimes what people are accusing us of is true, but because we're so broken, we don't understand complete restoration. We don't know how to respond to the accusations that are coming up against us. And so that's what I want us to leave with today. Sometimes we're so broken that we don't understand restoration. Although what they were accusing Jesus of was not true, I want to leave us with this also. Sometimes when we are being accused of things, it's true. But we're so broken that we don't even know that we need complete restoration. And so we have to understand complete restoration ourselves. We have to get it. We have to understand it for others to understand it. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this day, God. We thank you that you have allowed us another opportunity to get it right, Lord, another opportunity for us to become like you. God, we are asking you this morning to search our hearts, oh God. We are asking you, Lord, to soften our hearts and remove any anger that we may have within us, Lord, anything that may be hindering us from fully connecting with you, Lord, anything that will cause us to be quick to anger, Lord, we are just asking you to remove that, Lord. We are releasing that to you this morning, Lord. We are saying that we surrender to you, God, and we are asking you to help strengthen us, Lord, to move forward. Help us to understand complete restoration, Lord, so that we can be that teaching agent, Lord, to those that may look to accuse us, so that we can be that teaching agent, oh God, to ourselves, oh God. We are asking you this morning, Lord, to continue to be with us, Lord. Continue to help us to grow and to develop in you, Lord. We no longer want to be in control, but we are giving complete control over to you. And so this morning, Lord, as we are hearing your words and as we are reading your text, Lord, we are just saying that we want to be more like you. We want to be the example here on earth of who you are and what you are about. Lord, we need you, we love you, we thank you, and we praise you. In Christ's name, amen.